This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today we're joined by Laura Adams, a senior analyst with USinsuranceAgents.com, who is a nationally recognized finance and insurance expert. Laura, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
And of course, we really do appreciate your time as well. So tell us, for starters, what should listeners do to protect their finances, even if they don't have health insurance?
Yeah, so this is so important. If you don't have health insurance, I would definitely encourage folks to shop around. I have found that many people are surprised that it can be a little more affordable than they think. Certainly, health insurance is expensive. There's no getting around that. But if you don't have coverage, you may qualify for a subsidy. And so what that means is it is going to reduce your monthly premium. That's going to be based on your income and your family size. So, you know, let's say you're somebody who's struggling right now, you're maybe have lower income, or you've been in a bit of a hardship due to the pandemic or any other reason. And if you don't have coverage, you definitely need to shop around. Now, the actual exchange, the Federal Marketplace Exchange, has closed open enrollment. However, you know, there are other options. You can visit a site like USinsuranceAgents.com and shop around for different plans. So you may qualify for short-term health insurance. That would be something that you can get any time of year, and it would get you through the year until the next open enrollment period that comes around. Basically, there are different ways that you can shop and different types of products that you may be qualified for. And in a lot of cases, it can be more affordable than you think. If you did lose your job recently, you may qualify for COBRA coverage. That allows you to maintain the coverage that you had through your old job, but you would be responsible for those premiums. COBRA is not the most affordable coverage. However, it certainly could be something that you use temporarily until you do find more affordable coverage. So the idea is just to explore your options and keep an open mind, you know, about what you may be able to enroll in or to purchase, just to at least get temporary coverage so you're not risking your financial safety if you did get into an accident, which could be very costly.
For sure on that, and some great information to get things underway here today. Now, if one is thinking about leaving their job with health insurance to become self-employed, what steps should they take to get the coverage that they need?
Yeah, so this is a great question, because many people are leaving their day jobs. You know, they're looking at going into self-employment, whether it's as a freelancer or a contractor, starting their own small business. And if you've got a day job right now with health insurance, you are in a great position, and you've got time to kind of create a strategy that will make sure that your coverage will not end, that you can keep that coverage as you move into self-employment. So one option is definitely the COBRA coverage that we talked about. Another is that if you leave a job, you've got the option to enroll in coverage through the Federal Marketplace. So what you can do is shop around, see what's available. Depending on your income, you know, if you expect to be in a situation with low income, you may even qualify for Medicaid or even the CHIP program, which is the Children's Health Insurance Program. Again, that's going to be available to those with low income anytime during the year. So it really will depend on your income level, your family situation, what your old employer may be willing to give you. If you've got a situation where you're negotiating a severance package with an old employer, you may be able to negotiate that they maintain your health insurance plan for you for a particular period of time. That's not something that, you know, probably every employer would consider, but it's certainly something you may try to negotiate, you know, especially if you're leaving a job on good terms.
Now, Laura, another question for you. Are there any changes in 2022 for health savings accounts or HSAs that we should know about or to be aware of? Get into some of the details there.
Yes, fortunately, the annual contribution limit for health savings accounts or HSAs has gone up slightly for 2022. Not much. It's gone up $50 for those who have individual coverage only. So if you have a plan and it's just you, it's just your own coverage for yourself, you can contribute up to $3,650 for 2022. Now that doubles if you've got family insurance. So if you've got a plan that covers you and let's say a spouse or children, that's family coverage, that would allow you to contribute up to $7,300 to a health savings account. Now, having said that, you do have to be enrolled in a high deductible health plan to qualify for an HSA. And if your health plan says that it is HSA qualified, it should, you know, be pretty clear that it is an HSA qualified health plan. If that's the case, what that means is you're eligible to open and fund one of these accounts on your own. You don't need to do it through an employer. You don't need permission from anyone. You can simply go to an HSA provider, open that account, and fund it as much or as little as you like. And the great thing about HSA funds is that they roll over from year to year. There is no spending deadline. So any of the funds that you save in an HSA, you can spend on qualified, unreimbursed medical expenses on a tax-free basis. That's really, really powerful. So what that means is anything that you're purchasing with those HSA funds, you're buying them on a tax-free basis. Depending on your income, that could translate into savings of 25, even up to 30% or more off of those medical expenses. So it can provide a tremendous amount of savings for those who are contributing to HSAs and then using those funds to pay for medical expenses.
Certainly appreciate all the information shared so far today. We're joined by Laura Adams, a senior analyst with USinsuranceagents.com, who is a nationally recognized finance and insurance expert. And she's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Health News and Health Insurance Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, what's the difference between an HSA and a flexible spending arrangement, or better known in short as an FSA?
Yeah, that's a great question. Many people do get these two accounts confused, but be sure you understand that a flexible spending arrangement, or FSA, is only provided by employers. So that's something you would have to have offered to you at work, and that would work kind of in a similar way to an HSA. You can save money that then you spend on approved qualified medical expenses and even in some cases on childcare expenses. However, the big difference between an HSA and an FSA is that an FSA is called a use it or lose it plan. And what that means is the money that you put in each year has to be spent. You have to spend at least a majority of the account from year to year. There are some situations where you may be able to roll over, let's say, $500 from one year into the next, but that's it. So if you've got thousands of dollars in an FSA, your goal is going to be to spend them, to use those funds every year on a calendar basis. But that's not the case with an HSA. With an HSA, your balances will just roll over from year to year without a penalty. So you can really build substantial savings in an HSA. And even if you keep that account long enough, you can even spend them in retirement. You know, once you hit age 65, you can spend an HSA on non-medical expenses. You just have to pay income tax on those funds, but you're going to avoid any penalties for spending them on something that is not a qualified expense. So the HSA and the FSA are similar in some ways, but they have some distinct differences as well.
Also, if you have an HSA, what happens to it if you become unemployed, uninsured, or even change jobs?
Fortunately, with an HSA, it is what's known as a portable plan, a portable account. So that means it's not tied to your job. It's not tied even to your insurance. So if you've got an HSA, you're qualified for it because you've got a high deductible health plan, and then let's say you leave your job or you're terminated, you can simply take that account with you. It really just becomes yours to spend. And even if you become uninsured, you can still spend the funds that you've got in an HSA. However, you won't be able to make any new contributions to the account unless you get a new high deductible health plan on your own, or you get COBRA coverage through your old employer. So that's something to think about, is that, you know, even if you've got an HSA that your employer helped you set up, you can just transfer the funds into your own HSA that you open on your own. You can just move those funds on a tax-free basis, and then you would have, you know, total control over that account and can spend it as you wish.
Laura, again, we really do appreciate your visit with us here today and some very helpful information on the topic and per your expertise. As we conclude, what are some tips to get the most from your health plan? Get into some of the details and some tips there that would be of further help as we conclude today.
Yeah, this is something that we all need to think about. If we're paying for health insurance, we want to make sure we're getting the most out of it every year. So I would say be sure that you are familiar with your plan's, you know, benefits, really understanding what is an in-network versus out-of-network provider. In many cases, staying in-network is going to save you money. So doing a little planning if you have the ability to plan your medical services ahead of time. Also, once you've reached your deductible each year, you want to think about what other services may you need, because once you've reached your out-of-pocket deductible for the year, that's when your insurance is going to continue to provide benefits for you through the calendar year. So let's say if you had a medical surgery, you had something expensive done in the first few months of the year, you've got 10, 11 months left of the year in all likelihood to get coverage on your health plan. If you reach your deductible already in the beginning of the year, you want to think about, okay, what other services might I need? You know, even if it's something that could be fairly elective for you. Let's say you've got a knee that's been bothering you and you've been kind of putting off a knee surgery, for instance. You might say, well, hey, you know, I've already reached my deductible this year. Let me go ahead and schedule that surgery that I've been considering and do it before the end of the year. That way you're going to make the most of the benefits that you're getting basically for free once you've reached your deductible. So being a little strategic about when you get elective medical procedures or even purchasing medical products could really end up saving you money if you time it correctly according to your plan's benefits.
Again, Laura, thanks so much for your time. Listeners, once again, for more information on today's conversation and to shop around on insurance accordingly, visit usinsuranceagents.com. And Laura, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And you're certainly always welcome. We've been speaking with, again, Laura Adams, the senior analyst with usinsuranceagents.com, who is a nationally recognized finance and insurance expert. And once again, for all the details and to shop around, visit usinsuranceagents.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.